Srila Bhagavacharya Narayana Bhakti Vinanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brahma Ki Iskandha Viti Father Charya Zanandresh Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Sri Dharudas Thakur Ki Salavat Bhakta Vrindu Ki Hare Rama Sankirtana Ki Bhaktaram Shri Mahabhutam Ki Janitai Gaura Pimanandi All Gurus Ki Sambhavarotis All Gurus Ki Sambhavarotis All brothers to be a son of the devotees, all brothers to Sri Guru, to Sri Oranga, all brothers to Sri Prabhupada. Om Ajnana Tmirandasya Jnananjana Sadakaya Chakshara Kalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Kadati Swapadam Tipam Bande Ham Sri Gura Sri Dhrita Parakamalam Sri Gura Vaishnavam Sya Sri Rupam Sadratatam Saharana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sadivam Sadvaitam Sadvutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Shakamitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskate Taptana Kamsana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshpare Vrishabhanu Sithevi Pranamami Haripe Vanshakamra Tavyasya Kipa Sindhu Jaivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Narayanam Namaskritya Dhanam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Jayamadiraya Nasta Presa Madreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Damashvake Bhaktir Bhavati Naistuki Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vaita Gradhara Sriva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya 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 Om We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, entitled Vidura's Talks with Maitreya, text number 5. Karoti, Karmani, Kritavataro, Yani, Atma, Tantro, Bhagavam. Triyadhishah Yadha Sasaru Chakra Idam Virihah Samasthavya Vrityam Jagato Vidhatte It's not written right. It will be, you have to hear very carefully. It will be difficult. Thinking material nature to be independent is like seeking milk from the nipple-like bags on the neck of a goat. The Lord is independent and desireless. He does not create the material world for His own satisfaction, as we create our household affairs to fulfill our material desires. Actually, the material world is created for the illusory enjoyment of the conditioned souls who have been against the transcendental service of the Lord since time immemorial. But the material universes are full in themselves. There is no scarcity for maintenance in the material world. Because of their poor fund of knowledge, the materialists are disturbed when there is an apparent increase of population on the earth. Whenever there is a living being on the earth, however, his subsistence is immediately arranged by the Lord. The other species of living entities, who far outnumber human society, are never disturbed for maintenance. They are never seen dying of starvation. It is only human society that is disturbed about the food situation. And to cover up the real fact of administrative mismanagement, takes shelter in the plea that the population is excessively increasing. I'll read this line again. It is only human society that is disturbed about the food situation, and to cover up the real fact of administrative mismanagement. Takes shelter in the plea that the population is excessively increasing. If there is any scarcity in the world, it is the scarcity of God consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, by the grace of the Lord, there is no scarcity of anything. Yes. Very much to the point. So Prabhupada is always in English we say hitting the nails on the head, not missing. A good carpenter, he never misses. He's always, because he is expert. So the most of all expert personalities is Krishna himself. So it is very interesting that the Lord, out of his wisdom, out of his inconceivable energies, out of his inconceivable intelligence as well, being perfect and complete in himself, whatever he does, whatever he creates is also perfect and complete. This is Sri Upanishad, Om Purnam. Everything is Purnam, complete. And within that complete creation of the material world, which is meant to operate, to function according to the perfect. When we say perfect, we mean there's no need to change. Perfect means scientific also. Anything which is scientific
doesn't need to be changed. So Krishna has a complete, perfect, and scientific system even for this material world. And this point is also very important because in modern day society, the leaders in different countries and the scientists as well, they are giving various arguments and making people, misleading people actually, very expertly misleading people in believing that there is scarcity of food on the planet. Actually, I was on a flight just coming from Delhi to KL to here, and one very interesting gentleman who is a global director of all kinds of things. Krishna arranged for me to be sitting right beside him. And he was very special because he's actually from the US, from Denver, and he visited the Hare Krishna temple. Not only that, he got prasadam, and one time he was telling, yes, I've met these Hare Krishnas, and that's why he was feeling very comfortable. I was dressed like this. And he said one time they came to some special function we had, and big top leaders in society were there somehow. You know, devotees get invited sometimes, and somehow they mysteriously appeared in the most, you know, unusual places. So he said, there's so many people there, and these devotees, you know, they were having this chant, kirtan, right? And then he said, I don't know why, of all the people there, they circumambulated me. They went around me, and they gave a garland to me. So, you know, Krishna is arranging for me to sit beside this kind of person, who's a global director, you know, for communications and all these things. So he's actually a consultant. He's a consultant in India, in other countries as well. Actually, I gave him my card, he gave me his card, I have to get back to him. Because he introduced me to something very interesting, which I don't know if you're familiar, I was not aware of this thing. It's called, apparently it is used especially by the student community around the world and business people. It is called, I have to get it right now, mind mapping. You see, our mind thinks about so many things. Now people who are especially in administration, like regional secretaries, or temple presidents, directors, or people who have many things to do, they have devised. I didn't know it existed actually, I have to follow up on it seriously as well. They have devised with software systems, software technology, some software whereby they call it mind map, using a special developed system where you can, you know, we normally put on paper different ideas and we connect them here and there. They've developed a very sophisticated system where you can actually use this, and along with other colleagues, and you can, you know, organize your work, your business, and it is very, very potent. He showed me actually on his computer, you know, this program. The best one on the market, you may want to note it down, those of you who are into organizing, is called MindJet. MindJet. You Google MindJet Prabhu, and now that software, he did tell me, is expensive. Prabhu, I have to talk to you after the class. Cambodia probably can get free ones. Indonesia also. I'm going to these countries, but I have a first crack at it here in Malaysia, you know. It costs on the internet $349. And he says at least it's the most popular, the most sophisticated, and the most advanced. So of course, as a consultant, he's a global consultant. You know, global consultant, and he was telling me how, you know, scientists naturally analyze this, our planet. And he was telling you, you take three quarters away, and because three quarters of our planet is water, and you're left with one quarter. And then he goes on to explain how actually, how much of this land is actually fertile. And then, you know, scientists, they think like this. They analyze the land, and then they analyze the population, growth population. So, you know, Prabhupada is referring to this also in the purport. So their understanding, scientists, materialistic-minded people, because they don't know about Krishna, they don't know there's a plant, they don't know, as Prabhupada points out, that actually human beings on the planet are very, very, very insignificant population-wise, percentage-wise, isn't it? Of all the different species of life, well, we know from Shastra, 8,400,000 species. Only 400,000 are humans. And out of those humans, they're not all on this planet also. So it means that the vast majority of species are not human beings. And as Prabhupada points out, so many living entities, all the trees, all the animals, all the insects, the aquatics, they're all living without any arrangement on our part. It's all arranged by Krishna. And they only have problems generally with starvation when a human being messes up their environment, as we're doing right now, isn't it? Yeah. That's when they get problems, you know, when we put our finger into it, you know. Just like now, the very massive, you know, offshore, I mean, it's coming on the shore, this petrol, large, massive, something like 25,000 gallons of oil is coming out of the water since the last maybe 10 days, somewhere in the ocean, and it's threatening the shores of different countries like Florida and the U.S. And because of the current, it goes like that, and it's causing, it is a world catastrophe. These things happen at different times, actually, because we mess up, you know, the natural arrangement that Krishna has actually established. We do this especially, we have become very expert in modern day times. Modern scientists have become very expert in messing up the natural order in society, you see, on all levels, actually. So, this gentleman, he was actually, you know, to get prasadam, to visit the temples, to be garlanded by devotees, to have a whole Sankirtan party doing, you know, a certain mandalay to do, is not the regular affair that happens to everybody. It was very special, very unique. So I showed him my books, actually, in the context of Varnashram, because he was concerned about society. He was praising Bill Gates. Bill Gates, who's, you know, he's a mastermind behind Windows and whatnot. Bill Gates, who is a multi-billionaire, he spends most of his money now helping people in different ways. Our devotees should write to him. You know? I told one of my disciples in India, I'm giving you this assignment, you write to him and you follow up. You know? No, he's very, what you call, philanthropic, yeah, minded. And he's got so much money that he's helping out in different ways. So there are people, you know, Krishna gives inspiration. This particular person, we were talking for about an hour and a half. It's a long flight, right? 14-hour flight. So anyways, after 1.5 hour, practically we started right away after sitting down, you know. And he's in his late 50s, you know, so my age, I'm a little older than him. But he's very spontaneous, very natural, he felt at ease with the devotee because he had previous association. He's dressed as ordinary guy. You know, he is an ordinary guy, he's so-called ordinary guy. You never know who you meet. After speaking for 1.5 hours, then somehow we introduce ourselves. By the way, you know, my name is, I give him my card. And then he says, by the way, he says, my name is Reverend John. I said, you don't look like a reverend. You know, how did you become a reverend? You know, because the kind guy, he's a director of a global organization, and his profession is in business and communication. So I said, I was curious, when did you become a reverend? He says, oh, I went on the internet. For $49.99, you can get a reverend kit. You can apply, and you can become a reverend. He said, you know, some people, 2 years ago, they approached me, my friends, some friends. They told me, you're the most spiritual person we know, and we want you to marry us. So, you know, he had to be a reverend for that. So he went on the internet, and he found that it's possible to become a reverend by correspondence or whatever, but some kid is there. And then he had those people, he's a very good businessman, he said, I had those people who wanted me to become a reverend and to do the marriage to pay for the kit also. Good business. And then, he's done a few weddings. But most of the time he's a businessman. It's like a part-time job, you know. America, you know, where these kind of things can happen. So, he's very open, actually, very open. He's into community. He's concerned about people, concerned about communities. And I was starting to explain to him about dharma. And he became a little bit fascinated about dharma. And, you know, then we got into varnashrama also. And he's, like most people, you know, they're not aware. This point which is being made here, they're not aware that there's actually a perfect system. You see, material nature, Krishna, because it is Krishna's energy, right? It is divine energy of Krishna, which is arranged in a very, very systematic, methodical, and perfect way. And at all levels. And when we start to know this, when we start to know about Krishna's wonderful arrangement that he has made on this planet and in the cosmos, everywhere, then naturally, actually for most people, that is one way in which they can begin to develop, oh, whoever has done this is some great personality. You see, those who are a little bit pious to understand that there is some intelligence behind all of this. So of course, we as devotees, we know who that person is, not simply some vague intelligence, but it is specific intelligence of Krishna. And it is our duty and responsibility to know more about how Krishna is arranging this material nature. How Krishna, for example, has some specific laws how we should live. Family life, for example, is something very scientific, scientifically arranged. One of the main reasons why Arjuna was very, very afraid of actually engaging in the battle of Kurukshetra was that it would create imbalance. It would leave many women unprotected because their husbands would be killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. And actually this has happened in the sense that after the battle of Kurukshetra, a few years after, when Krishna departed or left, because actually the battle of Kurukshetra did, and it was a prelude, we could say, it was like preparing for Kali Yuga to take place, because so many qualified people, qualified Kshatriyas, died, not only from what we know as India, but the battle of Kurukshetra brought kings and monarchs from all over the planet. I haven't read in detail, but I, you know, when one analyzes, studies the flags, this is in the Mahabharata, there were different flags, and one of the flags actually was from Japan. Yeah. They have the round, they worship, you previously they used to worship the sun god, like so many people used to. We also worship, you know, all Brahmanas worship the sun god. In the Gayatri, first line of Gayatri is worshipping the, you know. So, it means that the whole planet, the kings, many of them, I mean millions actually were destroyed, and this was a setting the scene, so to speak, for Kali Yuga. It is part of it to actually happen. So in Kali Yuga, as we know, as we observe, especially nowadays, we have leadership crisis. There are no qualified kings, no qualified monarchs, no kingdoms practically left. And of course, we call leaders in society mostly now as presidents or prime ministers. But they are very less qualified because they are lacking in this knowledge and understanding. So, our task, this is something, kind of realization that it is important for us to have simple understanding actually. Our task as devotees is actually relatively simple. Krishna has given one system, one process. Krishna has arranged one way by which everything is meant to be done nicely, perfectly. Whereas those who are not devotees, they have to learn again and again so many systems. And every time they learn a different system, which is coming from their, you know, limited and perfect intelligence, naturally it fails. So their task is actually more of a burden. It is more burdensome. It is more troublesome to be a non-devotee when you start to think about it. Of course, we sometimes think, well, it's not so easy. I guess it depends on which angle you look at it. It is much easier to just not have any, you know, norms, not to follow any rules and regulations. But actually, that complicates our lives tremendously. It brings about all kinds of suffering, and it actually forces us, as we know, to remain here in the material world. So we need to have this understanding that if we simply learn one way, one system, Krishna's system, of how to live on a daily basis, how to deal with the material energy, then everything will be very nice. If we just stick to that one system, we only have one system to learn, Krishna's system. So in that sense, of course, Krishna's system is so perfect and so deep also. It is the spiritual science is very deep, and even the material science, right? You know, like cosmology, the material cosmology, how the planets are functioning. Within our society, only a few personalities like Sariputta Prabhu, right? Sariputta Prabhu and a few others were able to, decipher or understand the depth of what is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Most people, it's like, you know, it just goes overhead. Many years ago, Prabhupada had made that statement. Just before the fifth canto, which is having the whole description of cosmology, Prabhupada made the statement, when the fifth canto, when my purports and also the verses of the fifth canto will be published, I will lose many disciples. Prabhupada said, like, yeah, Prabhupada made that statement. I will lose many devotees because there are heavy statements made which our devotees will say, no. This is too much. Too much, you know. I mean, already chanting Hare Krishna, you look already very different, shaving your head, like, you know. Many people, in reading the fifth canto, actually had a lot of, we call it a crisis of faith, you know, crisis of faith. But we accept, even though we don't understand, so many things we don't understand, isn't it? I mean, practically everything we don't understand. But we understand one thing, that so many great personalities before us, beginning with the founder of Charya of our society, Srila Prabhupada, and then we just go down the line and see the qualifications of all of our acharyas. They're all very great, the greatest of philosophers, the greatest of pundits, the greatest of psychologists, the greatest of orators, you know, would speak very, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whenever he would speak, I mean, it was very, very effective. The greatest of writers, poets, these are the type of people from whom we are inheriting this knowledge, you see. So they accepted all of these things, and of course, they also understood because of their high level of realization. This knowledge of the Bhagavatam, this knowledge of, again, these two levels, the spiritual dimension and also the material dimension, Krishna's material energy, it is so extraordinary, because it is given by Krishna, that even some of our acharyas, they will sometimes have a different, what we call a different take, a different understanding, because depending on which angle you look at it, one can derive a different understanding or different conclusion. Of course, ultimately, in the end, they basically agree on the basic principles and concepts and the basic, what we call, siddhanta. The siddhanta is the same. So we have that great fortune as devotees to be hearing conversations between two very great, you know, vidura, not ordinary person, Maitreya, Rishi, also not ordinary. And they have these very wonderful discussions, and they discuss sometimes about spirituality, the science of bhakti, or sometimes they discuss about the material universe, various laws of nature, gross laws of nature, subtle laws of nature, just like our body. He was very receptive, this John, actually. He told me, don't call me Reverend. Call me John. So I called him John. I mean, if he would have been wearing a robe, I would have called him Reverend, you know, Reverend John. But, so, he was very receptive in wanting to hear about the different levels of body that we have, you know? The gross body, subtle body. You know, most people don't know we have a subtle body. Most people, when you start talking that we have different bodies, you know, you have different bodies inside your body, I don't want to hear about it. You know? Some people are afraid. We have this most subtle body, the subtlest of all bodies, with the spirit soul. So Krishna has arranged so nicely, so perfectly. When we follow his system, when we respect and honor his laws, then we live in harmony with Krishna's nature. And when the opposite is there, as we are doing in present day society, then we make a royal mess, a total mess of how we relate amongst one another. We make a total mess of how material nature is meant to be, to remain balanced. And this matter of overpopulation and food shortage, which is a theory today. You know, this whole Monsanto propaganda of developing what is called genetically modified seeds, they use this as an excuse or as a reason that we are wanting to produce more food in a more simple way so that we can meet the population problem that is coming up. See how demoniac it is, actually. They use good reasons, seemingly good reasons, to push their totally demoniac agenda, isn't it? Because genetically modified foods is described by one very great, you know, is as something that is potentially more dangerous than the atomic bomb, more dangerous than nuclear power, because it has the ability of, if it is introduced on a large scale, it has the possibility of totally annihilating, destroying maybe 90% of the population, let's say overnight, practically speaking. There are some findings coming out in the last few years. A number of scientists, independent scientists, it's very difficult actually to be an independent scientist, so much of pressure is there that you have to toe the line, right? But they came out with some findings that over the last 3 years, they have been experimenting, feeding this genetically modified foods actually to different, these lower animals. They haven't done it yet on the higher animals, on the two-legged animals of today. But they're finding all kinds of very, very scary results, whereby all kinds of very serious diseases, including cancer, some fertility problems, means after one or two generations they don't reproduce themselves, some problems, growth problems, deformation problems, all of these things is what we want to introduce in mainstream diet. Already as it is bad enough, actually. You know, what we are eating today, most of us are not realizing, it is already, it has already been tampered with in a very severe way. All the milk that we are eating, you buy any milk from any store, that milk is very, I would say, very dangerous. All the milk that is one of the important reasons why, you see how wonderful the arrangement is. In Krishna's plan, Krishna's master plan, everyone grows their own food. Who's going to contaminate their own food? You're going to grow your own food with attention, and if you're a devotee, with love and devotion, and knowing that Krishna will be the first one to get this food, isn't it? You're going to keep your animals, the cows, very nicely, knowing them to be so dear to Krishna, knowing that Krishna loves all kinds of milk products every day, and you will go out of your way to please Krishna in so many ways. That's the natural arrangement that Krishna has made for human beings, to grow their own food. And now because we have deviated from this, especially like in North America, who grows their own food? Nobody. They have less than 2% of people connected with farming. Less than 2%. And India, I'm sure other Asian countries are also going in the same direction. I think I mentioned how by year 2020, 10 years from now, people who will be doing farming in India will be less than 50%. It used to be 85-90%. It used to be 100%, practically speaking, majority of people, even brahmanas, they also grow their own food. You know, because one just grows a little bit. Anybody, it's like Prabhupada said, actually, anyone can learn how to cook. Let me give a story about that. Everybody can learn how to cook. Only those who are really lazy, Prabhupada said. Only really lazy people don't know or will not, take it up. So gardening, I'm convinced that gardening is very similar, because Krishna's arrangement was that everybody is supposed to grow their own food. That means that everybody can learn how to grow simple garden, how to look after simple garden. So in all spheres, whether it is in terms of meeting our own food, one very important sphere, which we have also forgotten about in modern day society, occupations. It's like every day, every morning, people are busy, probably he's one of them, going to office or going to work. You know, so in modern day society, we have to travel so many kilometers, and we, not only that, we, for the vast majority of people who are working today, are having to take up non-traditional occupations, which are very detrimental to the health and to the mental, or to the mind, actually, and what to speak of the spirituality of an individual. They have come out, I mean, it's happening more and more. In India, I always visit like Secunderabad, because I was connected with the Secunderabad temple many years back. So, I think you all know, India, the first most important city, which is highly developed in terms of technology, in terms of computer technology, is Bangalore. The runner-up is Hyderabad, and they built, I haven't seen it, and I don't really have any interest to see it, neither, but they have built, outside of Hyderabad, a whole city that they call High-Tech City, where people there, when I first went to India, if somebody had a salary, you know, like a teacher, if a teacher had a salary of, what is it, at that time, maybe 800 rupees, that was a lot. 800 rupees a month. Of course, I mean, that's, we're talking about 20 years back. But now, in high-tech city, most people who work there, that might interest some people, most people who work there, they gain between 1 lakh and 2 lakhs a month. 1 lakh and 2 lakhs, you just figure out how much it is in terms of Malaysian ringgit. 1 lakh in US dollar is about 2,000 US dollars. So it's how much here? 10,000 ringgit. That's a lot. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, beginning to be a little bit on par with regular jobs in North America and whatnot. So, but, you know, everybody who works there, so there are now reports are coming out that people in their late 20s and early 30s, because they're working in that kind of atmosphere, sometimes working night shift, under heavy pressure, very stressful kind of situation, young men and women, they're committing suicide, they're having strokes, heart attacks, you know, people, you know. Maybe when you're in your 60s or whatever, when you grow old, you have a stroke, you have a heart attack, these things, but not when you're young. I mean, not supposed to. And so because their work, their occupation, Krishna has already given guidelines for occupations also. You know, there are standard occupations. When we live in a standard way, as we are meant to live, the occupations also become standard. And they are very simplified occupations as well, which help keep people healthy, which help individuals keep good relationship between one another. Everything is scientifically arranged. We fail, as the devotees, we generally fail to understand to what extent Krishna's arrangement is so perfectly arranged and set up. And therefore, all we have to do is find out what is that arrangement. Just like the devotees, we know, if we just chant, continue to chant the holy name every day, even though sometimes, especially in the beginning, we may not be so attracted or so, you know, enthusiastic about chanting. But if we know by our good intelligence that this is like a medicine, we should do it, and we do it, then we gradually, more and more, see the good results which are there. And we develop some attachment, some good attachment, we develop some taste also for being with devotees, for taking Krishna prasadam. Usually that's much less of a problem to develop a taste for taking prasadam. But different activities, devotional activities, we like to be with devotees, we like to come and take darshan in the temple. So as the more we develop Krishna's system, the more we adopt Krishna's system, and this is important both on the spiritual level and also on the material level, and the system on these two levels, then the more we will learn to live in harmony with ourselves, with others, with material nature, and
ultimately with Krishna as well. And to keep a balance with everything else, it's close to 9 o'clock. So, because yesterday was Ekadasi, those who didn't break fast yet, you have to break, I think, before 9, what is it? 9:06. So you have about 7 minutes. 7 minutes for those who didn't break their fast yet. Sometimes people get confused between breakfast and breakfast, you know? So, and anyways, breakfast, breaking the fast, B-R-A-K-E. Break, to break the fast. That is breakfast. And breakfast is B-R-E-A-K. Breakfast. Yeah, breakfast. So, everyone has broken fast. Breakfast means you have to take some grain. Some little grain, yeah, some grain. Very important. Otherwise, it's already there in the Charanamrita. Okay. So, yeah, that's one nice way. So people just have to make sure they have taken Charanamrita. Any comments or questions on our verse? You know, I want to, we have to talk. I have broken fast. Mind manager, right? Mind jet
is
the best of all mind managers. Yeah, and he has it on his computer, Reverend John, and he showed it to me, and I was amazed. I was, where did you get that? You know, and it's amazing. It's amazing the kind of thing that you can do with that particular. He said it's the most popular one. Over 1 million. I took already. Thank you. Yeah. Over 1 million have been sold. Says, you know, and he uses it, obviously, you know, being a global director, and he's consulting very high class, all kinds of, you know, big companies and government agents and whatnot. And I can see, you know, I used to take a piece of paper, I'm sure I'm not the only one. You put one word in the middle and then you start, you know? So that's like, you know, for those who are not knowing about the wonders of computer world. Of course, computers have their limitations and problems also. And ultimately, we don't really need computers, but while they are there, we can utilize them in Krishna service. Yes. On which?
Walmart.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay. Yes.
So his son wrote an article about how he's so happy that his father never gave him all the money.
Okay.
His father never believed in giving help to his son.
Yes, yes.
So I think his father gave him very minimal death enough.
Okay.
And his son is wrote a book how he's happy that his father never gave him.
Okay. Yes, yes. Yes. Wow. We have to get
another person
to put on our list of to do to get in contact. No, I mean, you never know. You get in contact with these people. Some of them, sometimes devotees are giving them possibly some of these people have come in contact with devotees actually. Have possibly received prasadam. But, you know, of course, there's so many things happening and they're approached by so many people and whatnot. I mean, it's just like George Harrison, who was so close to us, but, you know, we were expecting that he would give maybe a large portion of his of his estate or whatever like that. Which
did what did you announce?
Yeah, yeah, prematurely, somewhat. Yeah, devotees are sometimes a little over enthusiastic, you know. But anyways, I'm sure it was all well for good intention. Yeah, well intentioned. Interesting. Okay. Jai Ganesh, Bhagavan ki, Jai Sri Ganesh, Bhagavan ki.